Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey. I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me. You got a green light, baby. Maybe, baby, you will see.
Okay, welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me this afternoon is, of course, the chairman of the board, the man himself, the Buffalo Bill of all Buffalo Bills, Mike McBath.
Chris, I'm getting ready for our meeting tonight,
quote,
which
unquote,
you will be attending,
yes,
as one of our
yes.
celebrity guests.
Yes.
And we'll be able to chat about the OJ story.
Oh, yeah. We'll be
actually,
talking
we'll
a little
do
bit
that a little
that
bit later.
On the
I
show,
got some
yeah.
great insight into that one.
Yeah, two episodes of the five-part ESPN ABC series.
Yeah.
Part three tonight. And we should be able to make it home just in time for part three, coming on at 9 o'clock.
After watching the first two parts, which we'll discuss a little bit later, I think they could condense it into one part, all five. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And before we get rolling with the regular order of business, if you will, we just want to say that our hearts and prayers once again go out to a family, this time a family here in Central Florida on vacation from Nebraska. And it was a terrible, horrific thing, the loss of a two-year-old child and the way it was lost, alligator and all. And it's just a horrible thing, and hopefully they'll find the child soon. They've already trapped a number of alligators out there in the area, and several in that lagoon itself. But nonetheless, sadness upon sadness upon sadness.
Yeah.
Some people say things happen in threes. Hopefully this is the third and the last of these terrible, terrible events happening here. Okay, they did find the child. They did find the child's body. I'm not even going to speculate. I'm even going to talk about it, what the circumstances. But just once again, our hearts and prayers are once again brokenhearted.
You know, Chris, there's been actually 23 deaths from alligators since the mid-40s, and which has not been a lot. I mean, relative, the population of alligators is supposedly over a million. And I do think you always caution individuals. You know, everybody's under the assumption that they're not around. I mean, I'm amazed. I go down the St. John's River. I have a boat. And when you go down the St. John's River, I'll see all these boats that pull up along the side, you know, and they're swimming right out in the river. Oh, my God, there's alligators in there 12, 14 feet, and I don't know what they're thinking.
Not
because
thinking.
They would never see them because it's brackish water.
Sure.
They would never see them come up. So I'm really amazed that it's only been 23 in a state like this that has a massive population.
And, of course, we had several incidents last summer,
yeah,
including right up the street here at
right.
the Wekiva Reserve, or not, I mean, the Wekiva Island up there. If there's water in Florida, you can figure pretty much a gator is somewhere nearby.
They got legs, right?
And, well,
they just walk from lake.
They
in all seriousness, they walk from lake to lake. You know that.
They can climb chain link fences.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, just watch. And we're not trying to make light of this. It's just that it's a hazard here in Florida, and people need to be aware of it. But we're not placing any blame on the parents.
No, that's not even the issue.
It's just, once again, we all need to keep that in mind.
Another thing, too, is if you have a dock out on the lake,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're going swimming, make sure you look under that dock.
Oh, yeah.
Numerous times I have seen that, and, you know, carelessly it could have been a problem.
Yeah, once again, especially if it's a natural body of water or, say, a
right.
pond on a golf course, there's a gator nearby. You can pretty well guarantee it. So, once again, our thoughts, our prayers, and our broken hearts, once again, here in Central Florida, for that child and his family and all their loved ones.
And that is just a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yeah. You know? Speaking of sadness upon sadness upon sadness, last night on the way home, I decided to go to Ground Zero, I'll call it, downtown. I went down to see the site, as, at least get as close as I could get, and it was a sombering affair, I must say, and I came away very, very sad, very, very sad. I was able to see the building pretty much. You couldn't get real close, but I walked around for a while and you know, got up to where the tape was taped off, and I could see the fire station. The building's literally next door to the Pulse, where a number of people ran for help and banged on the door. I could see the Pulse building, parts of it. And, of course, there was the media, and they were, I mean, they were heavy and thick up and down Orange Avenue. And they were all set up going about their jobs very professionally. And it dawned on me that to most of these people, this was just another big story.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying anything about them. It's just sort of the professionalism that I saw, that this was, you know, this is just, and perhaps some of them have to deal with this at night, that, you know, they just go from town to town, city to city for events like this.
Yeah.
And it was just very sad. And I don't hate to say it. When I got home, I started crying.
But Chris,
you know, this is our city, and you know, never expected this to happen here.
But where do you go from mourning to mad?
I was mad. When
in all seriousness,
there.
I don't say kidding joke. I mean, it's horrible. We know what happened. We know there are certain people that might have, I call, a degree of blame here.
Yeah,
and we hate seeing these politicians just twist and turn and squirm. Where do you go from mourning to mad?
Yeah, well, I went from mad to mourning back to mad this morning.
I can see you look mad today.
And but I did. When I got home, I was mm-hmm. thinking about it all the way home. When I got home, I just the tears just started flowing down my cheeks, and it's just a very sad situation. And I really, really feel for all of those people and their the families and the loved ones, and of course all the first responders. It's just horrible. And then the president's going to come to town tomorrow and try to score more political points on this. And that's almost as horrible because it is so cold and callous.
Yep.
He's going to come down here play. Well, I'm sure he does as a human being have feelings. I hope so anyway. True feelings of sadness and sorrow for these people and the pain that they're feeling. But if he really did feel that more so than it's perhaps political instincts, he might have lit in yesterday more to the terrorist than he did into Donald Trump,
right?
For instance.
I think Trump got under his skin phenomenally with his response, because he tried to put it off, but, you know, the reality of it in the end, you know, Mr. President, it is your responsibility to guard America. You have failed. Hillary has failed. And I think he's now taking on, you know, you're now a candidate, Mr. President. You're running against Trump, too.
Yep.
So count on getting drilled, and we'll see. I think you're running into somebody you haven't run into before.
And I think you're exactly right, and I think here's why. What Trump was saying is what we are all thinking. All right? He said when it comes to terrorism, particularly Islamic terrorism, not only will you not say it, and that's odd, and everybody thinks so, right? But you are either weak, stupid, or something else is going on.
Another agenda.
Right. And that is what people think,
yeah.
At least people who think about this. Those who don't think about it, it doesn't matter to them, right? And when he
right.
comes out and looks all stern yesterday and talks all high and mighty, that's all they care about. They don't really care what the emptiness of his words were, the literal emptiness, that which then were again parroted almost word for word by Hillary Clinton last night. And this morning, Mike Gallagher used, once again, our metaphor, our analogy of professional wrestling, when he said that you have the Hillary Obama tag team now going up against Donald Trump. And you're absolutely right. He's gonna rip into both of them.
I mean, I would.
He's going to tie her to him, and he's just going to lay into both of them.
The other thing, Chris, that has to make us all sad is that, You know, Clinton took millions from the anti-LGBT countries, you know, that, you know, hated gays, that hated, you know. That, all,
not just hate them, execute them.
I know, I'm being kind.
Execute them.
And then she plays like she was upset about the treatment of gays from the different Islamic countries and everything. Well, you know, Hillary, let me just give you a little idea how much money you took. You know, Oman, she took $5 million.
Oman,
Qatar, $5.8 million. Saudi Arabia, over $50
million. $50 million.
And you're concerned about the gay, lesbian community? That's amazing to me. And all this went into her foundation. How about this one? United Arab Emirates, $11.5 million. I mean, you talk about somebody who talks out of the different side of her mouth. This lady is pathetic.
Or somewhere
if I were
else.
If I were the LGBT group, I would be re-registering right now for the Republican Party.
Yeah, unfortunately, the liberal media is going way out of their way to misinform them.
Oh, of course.
And for instance, we had an incident yesterday right here in Orlando. You know, Pam Bondi has been here in town with the governor, who, at least as of about 9 o'clock this morning, is the governor had yet to get a phone call from the president. Any kind of... response to the governor from the president has been talking with good old Mayor Buddy Dyer, good old diehard Democrat who's raised a lot of money for the Democrats over the years, but nothing for the governor. Pam Bondi has been in town for this all of this, right? She's the Attorney General of the state of Florida. She belongs here. She was yesterday on the media talking about how our prayers, thoughts and prayers go out to these families, sincerely so.
Right.
And then later she's grilled, how can you say that? How dare you say that? We don't want your crocodile tears. We don't want your calls for prayer, because in the past you have been against. You were against gay marriage, for instance. You fought us in the past, so we don't want your prayers. We don't want your sympathy now. We'd rather fight you and hold you up, you know, for what you have said in the past. And they'll do it to her. To Pam Bondi now. But look what Hillary did.
I mean, here it is. Hillary Clinton, I mean, added up, it's probably over $100 and some million from all these Arab countries that virtually beat on women, stone women, you know, beat on gays, drop them off the top of roofs, put them on fire. And Hillary, you make those statements like you're with the gay community?
Well.
Oh, boy.
And then you got, as I said, the liberal media more than willing
and
to let
her
they get away with it.
They just push it. They're going to hide it.
Yeah.
I mean, even this story. You know, you have to look these things up. And, oh, boy.
Yeah, let's not take our eye off the ball here, folks. This is about Islamic terrorism, first and foremost. The Democrats are trying to obfuscate. We started saying this Sunday night. We saw it coming right away, right?
Yep.
This is all about guns or whatever. But it's not. It's about Islamic terrorism. And the one person who is on message with that is Trump. And as I was saying, the reason he did get under Obama's skin is that he said what everybody has been thinking. So really what Obama was doing yesterday was trying to rationalize and justify all of his actions, you see, and make it sound like Trump is so dumb in the process, calling, you know, Islamic terrorism, Islamic jihadism, whatever, magic words. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Obama. If anybody knows anything about magic words, it is you, sir, because you use a whole lot of magic words to get your sorry little scrawny self carcass elected a couple of times, right? Because you want to talk about an empty suit, but he had some high, powerful words.
He's a wordsmith. I mean, in all seriousness, he'll use words to alter truth.
And this is the whole key, see? He knows that the use of words is very important. But in his arrogant way, he has decided that the I hope we're still on the air. We just had a flash of lightning, I guess. Okay, we're still on the air. We have been knocked off by
ground
a flash
control
of
the major
before,
Tom.
Last summer. Yeah, but anyway. I'll tell you what, I lost my train of thought because of that, so let's go to George. He's been patiently holding on the line, and then we'll take a break. George, thank you for calling tonight.
Good. How's the A-team today?
Okay, George. Good to hear
from
you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yeah.
Well, It's a sad time, but maybe a little diversion here. You know, when I listen to your show, brings to mind the old TV Superman when he used to say, "Fight's a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way."
That's right.
Good.
That's about the size.
It reminds me of you guys.
Thank you, George. Remember this, George. Even if we're wrong, we're right.
You got my vote.
All right.
If I was a Democrat, I could vote five times.
That's right. Appreciate that.
These lefties are like a perpetual motion machine spewing out their same old BS. Guns.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the only thing they can sing.
Yep.
Speaking of lefties, I just plagiarized a little Shakespeare for our leader. And I say, the fault, dear Obama, does not lie with our citizens, but with our weak-ass president.
Well, that's one way to say it. Yep, and I appreciate that twist on a little Shakespeare there. Yeah, yesterday he was doing the old a rose by any other name is still a rose. Yet
the two-step is what I call it.
That's what it is, the political right. two-step. Thanks, George.
I got one for Crooked Hillary from Browning. How do I hate thee? Let me count the ways.
That's about
George
the size.
George has again fired up for the next contest. Yeah, this guy's mind is really functioning.
It's great,
wow.
George.
Now let me give you the five reasons. Actually, there's like a billion reasons not to vote for the Hill of Beasts, but I give you five that are kind of okay.
All right.
Number five, we can't have a president who wears the same pantsuit as King Jong-un.
I like that.
Geez.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Number four, we can't have a garage sale of the White House furnishings. Last time they stole $190,000 worth of stuff.
That stings.
We can't have a revolving door in the Lincoln bedroom. In 1897, they collected $4.5 million on that bedroom.
Hey, that's peanuts to what they plan on getting off that room this time around, right?
Number two, we need to keep our gold in Fort Knox.
I like that. All right.
And number one, we need to protect all the female White House staff, especially young interns, from the horny toad and the Hitler beast.
Amen to that.
Yeah, they may have to go with the male staff, George.
They'll all end up being eunuchs, though. That's the problem.
I got one more, guys, but this has to be a disclaimer. So this opinion expressed by George and the bandit is not necessarily the opinion of the American adversaries.
All right, just keep it clean.
Or of this station.
All right.
Hillary's fat and ugly.
You stated the obvious, George. Now, come on.
Well, I know, but I didn't want you guys to take the heat for it. You're not going to say, the adversaries are too crass, so Band and I will take it.
Who, us? No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't be doing Nobody would be saying that about us, would they?
I don't think so.
All right, thank you, George. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right.
One more quick one for the Hillary supporters. The flames of ignorance burn without pain. Okay, guys, that's it.
Hey, that's a good one.
Thanks for stopping by, George.
All right, thank you. All right, yeah, we'll be right back after this short break. We got another caller on the line, and you too can be a part of the show at 407-774-8255. Coming to town.
I mean, the two-step, he does that very well. This is a guy, he just doesn't stand still. He's like putty in your hand. You know, you squeeze it one way and it'll come out the other side.
Good description.
I could give a sigh where he comes out.
Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, thank you for holding. We appreciate your call tonight.
Thanks, Mike, for that visual.
But don't you think that was pretty much right on the spot? No.
Now, every time you play that Dancing Queen, I can't help but think of Barney Frank.
Oh, I know.
Somebody else did a parody with that one. Yeah.
I just think of him in the housing situation. It just turns my stomach.
I wanted to, George, the last guy, he left one off. He didn't talk about Bill's plans to put a stripper pole in the Lincoln bedroom.
Yeah. And obviously not for Hillary, right?
Well, Jerry, he's going to be in charge of jobs, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, some of the things I've read, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Bill using that pole.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say, you know, when he's talking about gun control and this and that, you know, to help curb the problems, you know, and it's, of course, the exact opposite outcome that they'll have is just going to be more murders.
Sure.
Because they're the only ones that will have the guns. But, while he's trying that on the guise of trying to save lives, why didn't he try, go ahead and pass a bill that at the same time, of course, he wouldn't do it with executive order. He wouldn't do it with a bill. But to ban heroin, car accidents, drunk driving, and tornadoes. And if we can get it in there, go ahead and do stinging insects at the same time, ban all that stuff, and we'd all be in good shape.
Well, you'd have about as much success in the desired result as with what they're talking about here.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
it's just so ridiculous.
It is. It is. Now, having said that, Trump's doing something I think is pretty smart. He's working with the NRA to come up with a counter proposal that would actually deal with real, honest, I'm not want to say it that way, but real,
legitimate, the true problem.
Well, that would deal with the terrorists trying to get guns, mm-hmm. not just any Americans, because right now what they're trying to do is implement a law, I'm talking about the Democrats, that would make it, possible for the Justice Department to deny a lot of good Americans from getting weapons, like say Iraq or Afghanistan war veterans. But hey, Jerry, thanks for the call. If you'd like to stay after the break, we'd love
to.
All right, here we go, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Thanks for being with us. There's a little wet stuff out there around the city area, so be careful if you're heading out on the roads, and maybe give yourself a little bit of extra time to get where you are going. We want to thank you for taking us with you wherever you are or wherever you are at. That's right. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. Nick LeCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we have Craig on the line, and he's up next. Craig, thank you for your call tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Howdy.
The guy's father, the shooter's father, was Mujahideen, which turned into the Taliban after
right.
Russia left.
Right, exactly. That was the Mujahideen were actually the force in Afghanistan that we assisted to get the Russians out. And then this is the thank you that we get, right?
Right. That's how he got here. I'm sure he was high up. Everything's kind of going as planned. The Homeland Security has an in-depth contract with S4 Security, which is Wackenhut, if anybody's have a non-empathetic encounter with a Wackenhut agent at a gated community or something like that.
Right.
Those guys are transporting these terrorists, a.k.a. Refugees.
Refugees, right.
Okay. They've got a contract for hundreds of millions of dollars. This thing, as soon as they take the guns, our guns, we're going to be in an Islamic takeover war like you've never seen.
Oh, yeah.
There's six cities that are on a list someplace, along with 8,000 people, by the way.
Yeah.
But there's six cities. Orlando was one of them.
Yep.
Boston. I don't know the others, but this is all planned. Obama has... In his administration, in Hillary's administration, current Uma is a Saudi spy, aka Yellow Cake Valerie. She is an Iranian spy, basically a double agent, in fact, because she was CIA.
Mm-hmm.
These people want to take this country over, and as soon as we realize that. And the only way to deal with this is to set them up in their own country, about 2,000 miles long by 3,000 miles, over there someplace, and just have all of the Islamic people go there voluntarily,
yeah.
sell your stuff here, and go.
Yeah.
And we'll live peacefully.
Yeah,
and that would be a preemptive Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, but of course, that's not what their intent is. Their intent is, like you say, to spread the caliphate worldwide, and if they voluntarily went to one geographic region, it would sort of defeat the purpose.
Chris, you know, he also sounds like the prime minister of what?
Australia.
Lady prime minister who gave a speech virtually, get out of here. If you don't like how we live, we are not changing.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little something, the way I kind of look at this sort of thing. And this is why I say I think the president's making a huge mistake when he thinks, in his mind, he's being more clever than anybody else by not calling Islamic terrorism Islamic terrorism, okay? When you don't do that, you're sort of... You're obfuscating the problem, yes, but you're also sending the signal that you're gonna sort of hide from it. And I was in security for a little while. It wasn't any sort of serious security, but I found after a little while that if I saw somebody that I was suspicious of and I thought they were going to do something wrong, the first thing I let them know was that I was watching them and I knew who they were. And if they were, you know, actually suspicious characters, they went away. You let the enemy know that you know who they are. And we have a president who is too clever to do that. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Clever President, but they're playing you for a fool. And, yeah, in the process, they are infiltrating into all parts of our society and, indeed, our government. This is like a cancer that has spread to all parts of the body that hasn't got to the point yet where we can't get rid of it, but it's quickly getting there, like Craig is saying.
Yeah.
It is very quickly getting there. And if they do get to the point, and the New York Times today was calling for a repeal of the Second Amendment. You know, the Rolling Stone saying something similar. This is where we have taken the conversation. And people want to call Trump a buffoon? Who is the real buffoon here? All right, Craig, excellent observations. We appreciate you being out there. And make no mistake, they are here. They are coming en masse. There is a level of organization. Who all is involved? That is,
and we'll be talking about the financial purse strings too up with Steve.
Yeah, but see, this clearly goes to why Obama felt the need, and I'm sure he wanted to do it too, to come out and try to slap Trump around a little bit, but felt the need to so vociferously and emphatically and impassioned and impassionately defend his position on his, you know, strategy to fight Islamic terrorism, and that is to not call it Islamic terrorism. And so what Trump was doing, once again, and what Craig E. Pitty, what showed us there, is that he was saying what a lot, and I do mean a lot, of people are thinking. You are either, Mr. President, stupid, weak, or something else is going on. You know, you recognize the enemy, then you go over there and you eliminate them. You don't play tiddlywinks. You don't, you know, well, you don't mess around. I can't say what I was going to say, but you just don't mess around, right? You identify the problem and then you solve it. And no, he wants to be too clever. So that makes people think, well, maybe there's something else going on here.
Well, you know, right? The other thing too, Chris, is in all seriousness, Trump is an alpha male. Obama is not.
Oh, no. And, he tries
and Obama
to be.
Has bit off a lot more than he can chew, and he better stay out of this politicking because he's going to be chewed up alive once they get their act organized.
Yeah, Obama is anything but an alpha male, but
yeah.
Tries to be one, you see.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't come across except to other people who aren't anywhere near that either. So it's a problem, and then of course once again now you got the president who is teaming up with Hillary. But this is great. This is exactly what Trump wants. You know, we had a couple of calls yesterday after we went off the air and we're only on the internet signal. And by the way, that'll happen again today at 6:30. It shouldn't happen tomorrow, but just a real quick program note: the Rays are playing, and the game starts tomorrow at about 1 o'clock. Now, normally they're done by the time we get on the air, unless, of course, the game really goes long or it goes into extra innings. We don't know. But once again, if you have downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device, then your mobile device, you'll be able to stick with us no matter where you are or where we are. And, of course, you can always listen to us by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and on the homepage you'll see the Listen Live button, which takes you to the AM660TheAnswer.com live streaming signal 24/7. What came up yesterday on the part of the show when we weren't on the air was that one of our, matter of fact, our first American Adversaries Army recruit, Tim, pointed out that Trump got Obama to say finally the words. Now, he was saying only the words to argue against him, but no one else has managed to get Obama anywhere near the words Islamic extremism, terrorism, or what. He would just refuse to do it, and Trump got him to do it. And he also elevated himself to the president's level. The president was making a philosophical argument against Trump. In other words, he elevated Trump to his level, you know, unwanting to do that, but that's exactly what he did. And, of course, Trump comes out today and says, look, he actually started last night at a rally. He showed more anger against me than he does against the terrorists.
Yeah, see, that's the horrifying part about it.
Because it's true.
Oh, I know. And the answer is Obama knows what he's doing. Clinton knows what he's doing. We know how bad their performance has been. And Trump is going to needle them, and just tear them up. So
I do think so.
I hope our elite Republicans leave him alone.
Well, let him do his job. I was just getting to that because you got all the talking heads, or many of the talking heads out there now pronouncing, and I'm once going to, you know, these go in the Ahab category,
right,
pronouncing Trump done. He's done. This is over. His campaign is flaming out. He's falling apart. It's all coming apart on him. There's no way he can recover. Everybody's making up their mind right now for the election in November. You know, let's just think of how much history we've seen since January.
Right.
Do you think that history's going to stop and everything's just going to sort of, you know, stay the same until November? No, there's going to be a lot of history between now and November.
Chris, we predicted this. Go back the last few months. We said that something horrendous is going to happen and there's going to be more than one, and it's all going to fall into Trump's lap.
It is.
Sadly enough.
It is. Yes, there is a new Bloomberg poll out today which shows Hillary leaping to a 12-point lead at, 49-37 against Donald Trump. What they don't tell you so much in the mainstream media is that this poll was conducted Friday through Monday.
Right.
And so the majority of the people were interviewed prior to knowledge of the terrorist attack and the full response from both parties and both, nominees to the response itself. Trump is looking stronger and stronger on this issue as it goes along. And, of course, as they're fighting over gun rights, people are beginning to once again sense that the Democrats aren't really strong enough on terrorism. And because at the end of the day, as I said, what happened here in Orlando was an act of terrorism. I'm not trying to minimize anything else. All I'm saying is let's don't take our eye off the ball. That's what this is all about. This is about terrorism and the lack of the capabilities of this administration or a Hillary Clinton administration to effectively deal with it. Either because, as Craig says, they're pawns or they're part of the invasion, if you will, or because they are just so feckless and stupid they really don't know how to. They think they're too smart and don't really yet know how to deal with this.
Chris, another point, too, when you're talking about the polls, there was also a poll that showed a conglomeration of other polls. And yeah, Trump was on average down
average
about 5.5%.
Right.
But the one I laughed about was MSNBC. They showed a graph. You want to talk about distorting life, right? They had two lines. You know, one was Hillary's line, which was going straight down in essence until the last couple of days, right? So it finally made a curve. Trump's line's going straight up, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns just a little bit down. Now, the analyst for MSNBC, he comes out with the thought that, you know, this is the end of Trump because you can see the collapse by looking at the chart. Hey, buddy, you know, you got one bad week. Hillary's had about a bad 25 years. Trump's had one bad week, and is that how you interpret it? Is that disgusting?
Yeah, and before you get too upset about the Bloomberg poll, it did not include the Libertarians.
Right.
All right, so it's hard for me to believe that 49% of the people will be voting for Hillary Clinton in November when you include the Libertarians and the other parties that are going to be involved in this sort of thing. Somebody's going to win this election, I believe, with about 45%.
Now, have you been called
it'll be
for any poll, Chris?
Probably be a plurality, probably not a majority. What's that?
Have you been called by any poll?
You know, I don't know. I don't have an answering machine.
Saying, I've only once, and it was in the last year's time, I was actually called by Gallup.
Yeah,
and the lady, she didn't ever stop laughing because one of the questions was like, how would you rate President Trump's performance 1 to 10? I said, do you have any minus numbers?
You mean Obama's?
Yeah, Obama. Yeah. I mean, it was funny as could be, but it was just a case that I just wonder too where they go and if these are fixed, and I have to question a number of them.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, the president is coming to town tomorrow. And once again, we're just trying to be as helpful as we can be around here. So we would like to help the mainstream media who are in town with some questions for the president. Real questions, not the, Mr. President, when you found out about it, how sad were you? Were you 10 times sad or were you 20 times sad?
Were you in your bedroom slippers?
Yeah.
Or your,
Can you tell us where you were when you found out? Ooh. Yeah, those aren't the questions we want. We want real questions for President Obama. We're calling this our Yapping with Obama or Yapping with BO contest. Now, this is going to be held tomorrow night, even though people were warming up last night already. Tomorrow night, and of course, you'll be playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, there's no better place to take that car to get it serviced than Jerry and Janice's place. And then you'll also, we'll throw in some other prizes too, but Mike, he's going to give us the rules for
The whole
now.
Objective of this is to come up with a question. Maybe Obama will be stuck in I-4 traffic, hopefully, for a few hours, turns the station on. Maybe any of his entourage, they'll get to hear our opinions. But we want you to come up with a valid question to ask our Mr. Obama. Okay, my question to Mr. Obama is that as leader of the U.S., you have promoted the Muslim religion and indirectly Sharia law to the entire world, and you have also tried to shove it down America's throat. Now, my question to you, to these innocent, unfortunate victims, are you going to pay your respects, or are you going to apologize for your actions? So, come up with your questions, and that's, you take the question for what it is. I mean, there's really some validity here, because this isn't a guy that has a free ride on this horrendous incident.
Yeah. Well, there's a question that I noticed that he hasn't been asked by any of the mainstream media, or they don't seem to be asking any of his representatives either, was something that we found out Monday from Congressman Micah. And that is that Central Florida, in spite of what Craig was telling us, and by the way, when he mentioned there's also 8,000 on the list, what he meant was there are 8,000 individuals in the United States on the Islamic State's official hit list. And I believe about 600 of them are here in Florida. And, yeah, they do mention certain cities and states that they are focused on, let's put it that way. And Central Florida is one. And yet, a couple of years ago, the Department of Homeland Security, under Mr. Jay Johnson, deemed it via a calculation, as they put it,
a calculation
that Central Florida is no longer deemed a soft target. Perhaps one of the questions should be to Mr. President, do you think that it was wise for your administration to not recognize or disrecognize, take Orlando, the Central Florida area, the tourist capital of the world, off the soft target list? Do you think that was smart? Was that part of your plan, not to upset Muslims? Would it have been used as a recruiting tool if you had done that, Mr. President?
I
want to say this something, too, because Hillary Clinton last night was saying that, and she has said this before, and by the way, we have checked this out, and we already know that Bill Clinton is used more as a recruiting tool for the Islamic State than any other American personality, because he is such a philanderer, all right? And that's against the Mohammedism, right? So this whole nonsense about recruiting, who cares what the recruiting tool is? If we are going to destroy them, their recruiting tool goes with them, doesn't it? So you waste time worrying about a recruiting tool. Let me tell you something. Everything about us is a recruiting tool for the Islamic State, because we are the exact opposite of the society that they wish to set up. The society where, as we were talking about before, they throw gays off rooftops, right. They burn people
alive. Put them on
fire,
hang them.
They either kill you or convert you. They cut people's heads off. That's their way of life. You understand? This is not their acts of war that they're doing over there. This is their way of life that they wish to bring here.
So, Chris,
right? So forget about worrying about recruiting tools. Just destroy the enemy.
So you're telling me that we were a soft target even though they knew we were a hard target, right? In essence, we are a hard target.
Well, I'm going to be careful.
How do you want to define
that? We were considered a soft target.
Soft target.
Which means more prone to be attacked.
Yeah.
Because there are so many places here where a lot of people congregate on a regular basis.
Right.
Right? With the theme parks and all that. And we know this guy was scouting around down there around the Disney parks.
That's what I'm trying to get. If you have Gay Week at Disney, okay, and you knew that you were a potential target, it is Ramadan, right? We're running close to it, if not in it.
Well, what we have to understand, though, is that Disney has upped their security.
Oh, I guarantee you they have.
Oh, they have. And they have the metal detectors out there now and stuff. See, he was looking for a soft target. He was looking for and what they mean by soft target is they mean easy target, right? A target where you can do a lot of damage rather easily. And that's what the terrorist did. Most of the killing was over in the first few minutes. Because once he was engaged by a number of police officers, he retreated, actually tried to play dead, but then retreated into one of the bathrooms where the two or three people had already hit out, and they became his hostages, right? And then there was the lull because he was in there, and then there was a stop of the action, the firing action, the shootout. But then later on, when they rammed in, they decided, well, we're ready and it's time to go. That he's not really gonna negotiate with any intent of coming out of this thing. So let's go and do this thing, and they did. But
do you think the mayor was aware that we were a soft target?
Well, by his response the other day, I would have to say no. But I believe that he did. He would have to, being an idiot.
You'd have to be
an absolute idiot not to think so.
Trying to get at, because
I think we've said it on the show here before, because we sit here right in the tourist capital of the world. And guess what? We're still a soft target.
Has anything changed?
Well, I presume it has.
You'll have more people on alert.
Well, Well, that should be, once again, Mr. President, now that this has happened, does this mean that you think that we're no longer a target?
We're okay.
Or should we go back on the soft target list, which your administration took us off? Do you want to explain to all of those grieving families whose beautiful loved ones are dead that maybe, just maybe, it might have been a little different had we still been considered a soft target? No one can know for sure, but I guarantee you, if he was a Republican and this same event had happened in a Republican's administration and the press caught wind that the city had been taken off a soft target list, don't you know that that president would be paying hell for it right now?
No, Chris.
There would be microphones in his face. There would be microphones in every Republican's face. How could this be? How could this be? You took Central Florida the tourist capital of the world, off of the soft target list? What idiot did that? Yeah. Those would be the type of questions.
Another question, though, is if we're going to be a soft target, so we actually should extract all the guns from the citizens?
According to these fools, yeah, I guess the appropriate response.
This may be relating to college. This would be a safe zone for the aggressor, and the rest, I guess it's not going to turn out too well.
No, it ain't. One of the things that the terrorist discovered about the Pulse Club as he was casing it out, and as his wife, that low, you know, good for nothing wife of his, brought him over here that one time, is he discovered that as people went in, they were checked for weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So he, in essence, knew that that was a quote-unquote gun-free zone. And he also knew that the police officer, who was oftentimes outside, was always outside and wasn't always next to the door. So he had opportunities, you see. And especially at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you had some people coming out and there was a bit more confusion around the front door, as some people would come out and congregate around the front door. You see, he knew what he was doing. Because we were a soft target, and he found the softest of the soft.
You know, it's amazing, though, Chris. You go back just a couple of weeks, and you see what happened in an Israel restaurant in Israel.
Tel Aviv.
Right, you got it. Major, I mean, it was packed, too, in a big restaurant. Guy comes in, he's dead in 2 minutes, meaning the aggressor.
Well, there were two
Why
people.
Why did that happen to
There
Chris?
Were two people, and actually because one of the patrons had a gun.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I got
and
it.
And he pulled it out.
We talked about it
with Abe Monday night.
Right.
He
Does took this make any sense to anybody?
No, according to people like Katie Couric, and she's another one of these liberal
geniuses.
She's
a liberal nut. She's a nut.
Because she was on a TV show, and everybody got to see up her butt. She's somehow famous and great, right? Well, she's an idiot.
Nutcase.
Yeah, she comes out and says, oh, there's never been a proven instance of a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun. I mean, how stupid can you get?
Are you crazy?
Well, that's my response.
Why do we have police?
But see, liberals
stop a bad guy
liberals
with a gun.
Take people like that seriously, right?
Yeah, they don't like police.
All right, let's take a couple of phone calls.
Yeah.
Jeff, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Thanks, guys. Hey. So the two points that I had were, you know, we keep talking about that the FBI interviewed him twice in the last 4 years.
Well, there were two investigations. We don't really know how many times they actually interrogated him, right?
Two investigations, but you know, all the reports lately, I don't know if you guys may have talked about this and I missed it, but, you know, in April, Disney, with their tight security watching things, alerted the FBI again about this guy. I just saw it on the news.
Yeah, that he was poking around out there. And
so he was back on the radar 3 months ago, and we still didn't do anything about his license. We didn't do anything about curtailing this. And the second thing is, they keep saying he acted independently. But, you know, these guys have learned to take their marching orders globally.
Yeah.
And we are not on the soft, we are off the soft target list. And ISIS said a few months ago, Florida is a target. So maybe he wasn't taking direct orders from some specific leader, but globally the organization said, hey, boys, time to hit Florida.
Yeah, basically what they have done is they have put out a plan, and they say, here's the plan, enact it. And that's what he did. And that security firm needs to be looked into as well. Thank you, Jeff. Excellent call. It's a hard break. We got to take it. We'll be back in the next hour. Please stay with us. Well, in the last hour, I looked out the window and saw a little rain. This hour, I'm looking out the window and see some sunshine. Perhaps there's
an omen, Chris. It's an omen.
I was going to say, perhaps it is, because we have
had... The clouds are passing.
Let's hope so. There's been another sad event happened here in Central Florida, and you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath, and all of our hearts here in the American Adversaries Army, and I'm sure all of our listeners and everyone here at the station, we just want to say all of our hearts and prayers once again. Go out this time to a family here, three children, a mother and father from Nebraska, and the little two-year-old boy was snatched by an alligator. Terrible, horrible event, and another sadness after sadness after sadness. And hopefully with the sun peeking through, maybe it is that things are going to turn for
and
us.
The other thing, too, is this was so unique a situation. There's only been 23 deaths from alligators, you know, since the 40s. And one death is one too many. But it is a case that people have to be cognizant that these are dangerous animals. There's a million of them plus in the state of Florida. And it's a case that, you know, you just – you can't go wading into the water and not believe that something could go astray, particularly in Florida waters.
And we're not, you know, placing any blame on
the family. We're not placing blame
on
anybody.
The father heroically went in the water with the gator trying to get the boy loose.
It's just be smart for people who don't want to get into an awkward situation because they do lie under your docks. They are in all the lakes. The St. John's River, I see people swimming in the river. I can't even believe it. There's 12, 14-foot monster gators, and they're out there swimming, not thinking anything could go astray.
You have to be very, very careful in any water in Florida, especially in the summertime, because that's when they're in the water during the day to cool off. In the wintertime, they might be laying around on the bank more so, and they're more obvious, but hey,
that's the other thing, Chris.
If there's a body of water in Central Florida or anywhere in Florida, there's likely to be gators there.
And which we mentioned, people go, well, how can they get into this lake or get into that lake? You know, gators walk. They walk from lake to lake to lake. And as you know, as you mentioned, Chris, you've seen them climb over a fence.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch them on a golf course. You know, these things can move pretty fast. If you think it's a joke getting up close, it's not.
Yeah. And even though their brains are very, very small compared to their bodies, they're pretty intelligent creatures. Mm-hmm. And they can be pretty clever.
A little cagey.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So you know, even on land at night, if you're near a body of water, you got to be careful. You just have to be.
I'm amused when golfers, you know, you'll see them on the side of the ponds and stuff, and a golfer will drive up thinking, "Oh, this is cool. Look how close I get." These things can surge so quick. If they surge towards you, bye bye.
Yeah.
You know.
And oddly enough, though, if someone encounters a gator like that, the father might have actually had better chances of rescuing his boy if he had tried to grab the gator by the tail instead of try to pry those jaws. You're never going to pry the jaws.
Yeah, the compression poundage is unbelievable.
But if you can grab the gator by the tail and drag him up on the shore or something like
that. He might just drop it.
Exactly, to try to escape. And it seems counterintuitive, but you watch the gator boys on TV, that's how they catch him. Right?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Nick LoCicero, tonight his show, I'll let him tell you, is going to deal with some of this, including the security issues at Walt Disney World. Of course, we now know that the terrorist cased out at least one of the Walt Disney World properties. So, Nick, please give everybody a little preview of your show and tell them when, where they can hear you.
Yeah, it's called WDW News Tonight every Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. over on the 1520 WBZW and online at 1520WBZW.com. We're going to have a security expert on tonight who was with us a while back, sometime last month, right around probably around November, December, and actually told us that one of the biggest threats, the park's pretty secure. One of the biggest threats, Disney Springs. And sure enough, come to find out, the Pulse nightclub shooter seemed to have scoped out Disney Springs. And so we're gonna talk to him about that, see what, now that they're done with construction and whatnot for the most part over there, see what risks still remain if security is a little more tight over there, and what people can do, what people can keep on the lookout to protect themselves and their families when visiting not just Walt Disney World, but any theme park in any area like this where there's a lot of people. We're also going to talk about this gator incident at the Grand Floridian Resort and see, we keep getting details about this, so we're going to keep our eye on what's going on there as well.
Isn't correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Grand Floridian one of the oldest resorts out there, along with the Contemporary Hotel and all that?
No, actually, the Contemporary and Polynesian were built when the Walt
Polynesian.
Disney World opened.
Okay, I was confusing it with the Polynesian. Mm-hmm. That's
the
right.
The Grand Floridian. I wish my co-host Tom was here. I think the Grand Floridian is late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it's older, but not as old as the original one.
Right.
That's right, yeah. Okay, all right. Once again, when and where?
Tonight, 9 to 11 p.m. on 1520 WBZW and at 1520WBZW.com. And, yeah, with this Gator thing, there's also some interesting changes that Disney is doing. It actually affects some of their shows and everything. We'll tell you about that tonight.
Yeah, that'll okay. be interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so that's tonight on 1520. Good. All right, we got, we got Marshall on the line. Let's take his phone call because he has been patiently waiting for about 15 minutes. Marshall, thank you so much.
I just got home from the hospital, but anyway.
Congratulations, by the way.
I already discussed it. Did you get to see Hannity last night?
You know, I caught a little bit of it. I got home late. I went to, and we're going to talk about this again a little bit more here in a second. Went to Ground Zero last night, and so I was late getting home.
Okay, well, anyway, Hannity had on the gentleman that was one of the originators of the Homeland Security Org.
That part I did see, but go ahead and say,
Okay, yeah, then you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
He, as you know, Chris, he got a call one day, and his job was to connect the mosque.
Right. Let me back up a little bit further.
Sure, go ahead.
He was given this position under the Bush administration.
Right.
And then in about 2009, he gets a phone call.
Right, you got it.
And guess who was in town now in 2009?
Basically
pulled the plug on the whole operation,
yeah,
right?
He got it. He said all his information, all his all the stuff he had gathered had been deleted.
Yeah, all the information they had been gathering on, they had undercover agents in mosques all over the country.
Yep.
And I believe he said it was like...
it was a network.
Yeah, a network. It wasn't all the mosques that the... But a great percentage of the mosques planning was going on. And they were developing a database, and along comes Obama, he ends the project, and then also scrubs the database.
Yeah, deletes it.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't get Greta, did you?
No, I missed her.
Greta had the imam, the mosque that the murderer was attending.
What did he have to say?
Well, she was interviewing him, and he denied that he had ever attended that mosque. And also, to put the top on, she asked him, do you think it's right that women should be stoned to death for adultery? And he said yes.
Well, that's great.
Trying to compare it to us when we kill a prisoner. For murder.
Right, yeah.
Isn't that terrible? Well, that's part of the package, and, you know, if you vote that direction.
You know, they can lie.
You got it. That's part of the
say, I'm surprised that he was so candid.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it myself.
Yeah. All right, well, good for her to get him to admit that.
But, you know, Chris, we both know that lying is part. If you can get your goals accomplished, you can lie any way you want.
Yep.
And so, but, you know, when you take that in consideration, I wonder how many politicians might be. Because, you know, I'm trying to find the ones that tell the truth.
Yeah, they're all pretty good liars.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Marshall.
No, thank you, guys. God bless you all, man.
Thanks.
And, remember, God's in charge.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad he's out there. That story was heard.
And by the way, Marshall just had a hip replacement surgery, and he did. He just got home, as he just said. And Marshall was a first responder as well.
Oh, really?
And I know his heart, from That's communications great. Text he sent me, that his heart went out to all the first responders. He wished that he was still active so that he could have been there. And I will say this, as I said earlier in the show, I went down to Ground Zero, as I'm calling it, last night on the way home down there on South Orange Avenue. I parked my car and got out and walked around for several hours and just sort of took it all in. I mean, this is my city. And I was born in a little farming community up in Georgia. But I grew up here, and this is my city, and I've spent a lot of time on South Orange Avenue and Orange Avenue, and I just felt the something calling me to come down there. So I went down there, and it was very sad, very somber. Could see a lot of the things, and of course the barricades will be down soon. But I saw a number of people down there, sort of vigil type thing. And you know what I saw practically on every corner were deposits of like bottles of water and stuff.
Well, you know, Chris,
where people had been bringing food and water down there, and I was going to say we need to thank Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A was one of the major suppliers out there. Yeah. This is a organization that never opens their restaurants on a Sunday because they believe everybody should be have a day off, a day of rest, and they all came in, they all distributed water, they distributed sandwiches. And you know what the sad thing about it was, Chick-fil-A is one that has just absolutely been harassed by all the liberals, and they were one of the very first to the scenes. But they weren't the only one. You know, there was mom-and-pop pizza places. There was, you know, many, many others that were out there. But I just noted Chick-fil-A just because of the trouble they've been harassed by liberals. You know, how about our mayor of New York? You know what he tried to do to Chick-fil-A, you know, and various other groups. But they step forward when true Christians step forward, which is great to see.
Yeah. And what it also told me, though, too, is that people want to do something. Right?
Right. I agree.
We want this problem to end. People want to do something to help, to end the suffering, if you will. And yet we have a president who, in essence, tells us, well, just we'll do it in my time. Oh, right? Yeah. I got this. Yeah, we'll suffer a little pain along the way, but I got this. We'll do this in my time, right? Be patient with me. That's, in essence, what that whole doggone dog and pony show of a speech was about yesterday, was be patient with me. Look how smart I am. I've got all this figured out. Just be patient, and everything will be okay. Well, in the meantime, the whole damn world's coming apart.
Well, the good news is, Chris, we're all
in Orlando, Florida had 49 precious lives stolen from us by a scurrilous terrorist who was taught hatred by his father and his father's religion, quote unquote.
Well, we're going to be able to respond with our questions tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, while hopefully he's stuck on I-4 for a while and tunes in on the show, and I think he'll get an earful.
All right. Let's speaking of earfuls, we got some callers on the line. We'll get to them. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll go right to the phone callers. Once again, the Rays pregame show comes up here in about 10 minutes or so. So please adjust your listening to AM660TheAnswer.com or our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can hit the Listen Live button. Or hopefully, if you haven't already, you can download the free WORL-FM-AM app into your mobile smart device so that you don't have to worry about the Rays playing. You can listen to us and all the other great programming on this station anytime, anywhere. All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Thank you ever so much for being with us. You know, tomorrow the president is coming to town and to show solidarity and perhaps bring some comforting words to the families. He is duty-bound to come here, and so, you know, he is coming to our community. But it's only fair that we try to get some answers out of the president,
we have some
right?
very educated listeners, and it's a case that I think we all should have questions that we can put forth to our wonderful president. And, you know, we're going to choose a winner by who has the best question.
Yep.
My question to the wonderful man is, I said, Mr. Obama, you know, he is certainly the leader of the U.S., and he has promoted the Muslim religion and indirectly Sharia law to the entire world. And he has also tried to shove it down America's throat through political correctness. Now, my question to these these unfortunate innocent victims, the question is, are you here to pay your respects or apologize for your actions? And I think that's a very valid question because, you know, you are the advocate of the Muslim. I've never seen a president in the history of this country act this way toward a specific religion. And, you know, I've been on earth an awful long time. I've never seen an act like this. So, you know, are you really here to pay your respects or is there some other reason you've stopped by?
You know, the irony is, let's assume for a moment that his intentions are noble, that what he's trying to do is create peace in the world, right? He got this Nobel Peace Prize, and he somehow got inspired, and he's really trying to create peace in the world.
Oh, really?
But look at the results of his methodology. It is the exact opposite. It is more and more death and suffering. And then all he does is try to obfuscate and blame someone else.
Can you ever call back that award?
I don't think they've ever done it. No, I don't think they've ever done it.
Maybe he'll be the first to
win. Good question. All right, we got a couple of callers on the line. Frank is up first. Thank you, Frank, for calling. We appreciate you calling and your patience.
Hey, guys, I'm down here at 13,001 South John Young at the funeral home, and we're supporting our gay friends, and we're making sure that these people have a decent funeral and they're not disturbed by these crackpots from the Baptist church. So,
good for you.
We got about 300 people down here, and hey, guys, we're on the
radio. This is certainly live. I can tell you that.
All right. Well, God bless you all for being down there, and keep up the good work.
I want everybody out there to know that, the American adversaries, our army, we love everybody, and we're Americans, and you know, we support these people.
Exactly. Let's, as I said earlier, let's not take our eye off the ball. These are American citizens, our brothers and sisters, and we owe them the same thing. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're from. They are due the same respect, and this is an attack against all Americans. This is an attack against Western civilization. Let's don't take our eye off the ball here.
There you go, brother.
Plus the fact the general public obviously knows what we have to do and what's right.
You exactly.
We know where to go.
This is all about Islamic terrorism, plain and simple. Keep it up. Keep up the good work
job,
out there,
Frank.
Yep. Tell them all about us, too. We appreciate you so much. All right. And once again, this is, and the Democrats are trying to make it about guns. Other three people are trying to. This is about Islamic terrorism. Let's don't take our eye off of the ball. Okay. Trump's got his eye on the ball. Let's do the same.
Like you said, do what's right.
That's it. Let's go to, look at this. We got a fella by the name of Nostradamus on the line.
Yo.
Look at this. How you guys doing?
It is you. How you doing, Nostradamus?
I got to tell you, Marshall's phone call earlier made me sick. It's not Marshall's fault, though.
Yeah.
What made me sick was to find out that all this intel that had been gathered that could have saved lives.
Possibly.
Was deleted just like something in Hillary's server. It makes me sick.
It is. I mean, it's enraging. And that'd be a good question for the president tomorrow, too.
Nostradamus, you got your entry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the question, and it has to do with Disney, because, as you know, I work there part-time on the weekends, and I know a lot of the security people there. I know the kind of job they do. It's been reported that Disney gave this shooter's information to authorities who did nothing with it.
Yeah.
So my question to the president would be, how many other names has Disney given of potential people who are trying to case out soft targets like the theme parks? And what's been done with that? Are all those cases closed too?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
That's a great point.
How many others?
I mean, imagine this. I mean, again.
Yeah, that Disney gave them, or other people or parks or installations around the country. And, you know, one of the scary things about this security company that had employed this guy and gave him a gun, guess what else that they secure?
Department of Homeland.
Well, nuclear facility. Nuclear.
Oh, that's even better.
Nuclear power plants.
That's not great.
All of them, but a number of them are under contract. This is a huge security company. And as Craig was telling us earlier, they also have contracts to move around refugees.
Nice.
So, this security company needs to be looked into as well. But excellent point there, Nostradamus.
All right, thanks.
Well, he already has his entry into tomorrow.
That's a great question.
Getting a jump on things.
By the way, there are several locations where they are holding vigils tonight, including the Delaney Street Baptist Church downtown and at Festival Park. The Magic Kingdom is actually, and the Seminole State College Planetarium, as well as Blanchard Park YMCA. So there are a number of places if you feel motivated. You know, like last night, it was like a siren downtown, you know, was saying, come here, see this. And as I said, when I got home, I was just overcome. It's so sad.
Well, as I said, Chris, you know, we talk about when do you go from morning to mad.
You know, my pastor, Pastor Peter, told me tells me three things that we should all know and remember when it comes to us and our relationship, if you will, with God. Three things. We are all unique, we are all precious, and we are all loved by God. And those people in that club were all unique and precious and loved by God and loved by their families. And all else aside, that was stolen. It was taken. Okay, we're back. Once again, thank you so ever much for listening, folks, because if you are listening now, it means you've gone the extra mile, so to speak. Perhaps you do this every day, listen to us on your smart device or your computer or whatever. But it's nice to know that you are out there in any case. I am Christopher Hart. Mike McBath has left the studio. He's on the way to the NFL Foreign Players Union meeting, quote-unquote, downtown. I'll be joining him shortly. But in the meantime, we got another half hour to go. If you would like to participate in the conversation, just give us a call at 407-774-8255. And we'd love to talk with you. By the way, tomorrow, Rachel Cohen is going to be on our show. She called in, was on the show a little while Sunday night. And by the way, if you missed that Sunday night show, you can go to our archive at AmericanAdversaries.com and hear it. But Rachel is a Bible scholar. She's been doing some extensive traveling, and she is well-connected with people who are very knowledgeable about not just about Islam, but about Islamic terrorism. And once again, she'll be on our show tomorrow along with Rick Brown. And we're going to press them into helping us judge our yapping with Obama contest. So once again, as Mike said, get those contest entries ready. What question do you think the president should have to answer or answer for, if you will? So once again, we'll do that tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. We should have the full 2 hours on the air tomorrow, and not that it makes any difference to you guys, but maybe it does, because the Rays will be playing an early afternoon game. So that's the plan for tomorrow. I want to respond to a couple of things, and I may have to do this again, probably will, but there's been... let's just say some angst amongst the Republican elite with guys like us, talk radio, conservative talk radio in particular. The poodle Mitch McConnell, I guess, takes exception to people like me calling him a poodle. Hey, if the shoe fits, right? Mitch McConnell has made some comments that that conservative, so-called, as he, I guess, puts it, conservative talk radio is really making life difficult for Republicans, and that we have been, and I'm using his word now, misleading you, that we have been misleading you into thinking that they could actually do their jobs. That's the way I put it. That's not obviously the way he put it. What he means is that we've, and what he said, is that we have been misleading people into thinking that a Republican-controlled Congress could be an effective balance against a Democrat in the White House. Now, in essence, what he's saying is, we've been misleading you because we haven't been telling you that having the Republicans control the Congress doesn't mean squat because they're powerless. That, in other words, according to this statement, that's what we should have been telling you all along, that, oh, you know, give them a break. They're only Republicans. They only control Congress, both houses, but that's it. And so they're powerless. There's nothing they can do. That's the argument that he's making, that there's nothing that they can do to deter, slow down, or in any way offset President Obama's initiatives and anything that he's done. And therefore, we've been wrong. We've been misleading you to give you the impression that they could do anything about it. Well, a couple things here. First of all, if you can't do anything about it, then you're worthless, and we'll get somebody who can. And that's kind of what we're in the process of doing. Second of all, you are the ones who made the promises that you would do these things when you got elected. You said, give us the Congress, give us the House. We gave you the House. Well, that wasn't enough. You said, give us the Senate. We can do these things if you just give us the Senate. We gave you the Senate with a pretty solid majority, 54 to 46. Well, 45 if you don't want to count Bernie Sanders. But the point is that you just don't know how to wield power. You do not know how to lead. For the Congress to be an effective counterbalance to the president, the Congress has to be willing to stand up to the president sometimes. And that means sometimes calling the president's bluff. And it oftentimes means making the hard right choice instead of the easy wrong choice. You see, what you are doing is making an excuse for making the easy wrong choice. The easy wrong choice is, yeah, we could stand up to the president, but it might mean something like a government shutdown. And lo and behold, we can never do that. So we won't do that. And we'll tell the president, and we'll tell the world that we won't do that. That will somehow make things better for all of us. And in the meantime, the president gets everything he wants. The Republicans don't follow through, don't accomplish anything they promised. And then they wonder why people in conservative talk radio give them a hard time. You see, here's the difference between what we do and, say, what a liberal talk show would do. What we do, it's like that bump music that we used, keep them separated. Keep them separated. Dun, 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 dun. You know the one, right? All right, got to keep them separated. We separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, reality from myth. That's what we do. We're not here to carry the water for the Republican Party. Not going to do it. That's not, that ain't in my bones to begin with, and that's not what we're all about. We're here to separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, reality from myth. Now, when you're on the right side of things, we're on your side all the way. When you're on the wrong side of things, we're going to be your worst nightmare. Now, you're not going to get that from liberal media. Liberal media is going to back up their people no matter what. That's because they are, as Trump puts it, the most untrustworthy, the scummiest of the scum, if you will. Because they are willing to obfuscate truth. They are willing to downright lie. They are willing to not report things that people should very well know. They're willing to do whatever it takes to further the liberal cause, no matter if that liberal cause is on the right path or the wrong path. You get much more honest journalism, if you will, honest opinion, honest talk on conservative talk radio. And unfortunately, the Republicans can't take it. And the poodle Mitch McConnell wasn't the only one complaining recently. I believe he made those comments last week. Haley Barbour, who used to be the chairman of the Republican Party. He was also the governor of Mississippi during Katrina. Very good governor, I must say. And he was also a very good head of the Republican Party. He also has come out. Now, he singled out Rush Limbaugh, but also used and talk radio and conservative talk radio when he said, for a long time, the liberal media controlled everything. They had a monopoly on the liberals had a monopoly on media. And then along came Rush Limbaugh. And then you had a lot of other people, including us, much later, who followed in his footsteps. But for a long time, he said, conservative talk radio was great. Everything was fine. And then in about the last 3 years, everything turned. And now they're like a huge problem, right? All the Limbaughs out there. And, of course, that would be including us. And once again, he fails to see the reason why. Now, he doesn't go as far, at least I didn't see in his comments or hear in his comments, that he went as far as Mitch McConnell as to accuse us of misleading people. But certainly he did say that we are making their lives miserable. And to that, all I can say is guilty as charged, because once again, we're not here to carry the Republican Party's water. We're here to separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and reality from myth. That's what we're here to do. And that's going to be what we're always here to do. And if you want us on your side, get on the right side of the issues. Do something that you promised to do. Don't plead, beg, and demand from us, and then when we give it to you, turn around and say, well, sorry, but that ain't enough yet still. No. See, the founding fathers of this great nation were brilliant. Well, they were working under the inspiration of the Creator, so it was kind of hard not to be, but nonetheless, the form of government they set up was brilliant in the sense that, indeed, originally, as a matter of fact speaking, you basically had two branches of government which were meant to counterbalance one another, because the Supreme Court wasn't meant to do what it does today, and that be this arbiter of what is and isn't constitutional. No, the Supreme Court was originally designed, and it states in the Constitution that it is the last of the appellate courts in terms of basically civil disputes or disputes between, say, a country and us. But it had nothing to do with reviewing Constitution. That was a job the Supreme Court assumed for itself in Marbury versus Madison. I don't want to get too far off the course, though, because get back to my original point. The founders basically set it up so that the Congress would be pretty much the sole counterbalance to the president. The Congress and the voters, they are the only counterbalance to the president. There wasn't the Supreme Court as a third counterbalance. No. So the founders set it up so that if you did have split parties, let's say you had one party who controlled the White House and the other party who controlled the Congress, you still had a balance. You still had a balance of power that the Congress could exercise against the president, and that the president could exercise against the Congress whenever necessary. So the only people who have been misleading anyone are the Poodle McConnells, the Pooch Poodle McConnells, and others like him who promise us things in order to get elected and then turn around and come up with a whole list of excuses why their promises can't be fulfilled. When they knew all along, especially a guy like McConnell, how long has he been in the Senate? If he didn't know when he was making the promises that he couldn't fulfill them, then I guess all those other years that he was in the Senate, he was either drunk or just not paying attention. But of course he knew. And now he's trying to put the blame on us. You see, talk radio is now responsible for getting the Republicans in the mess that they are in. No, we're not. Now, we may be guilty of pointing it out. We may be guilty of saying, you got yourself into this mess. Here's how you can get yourself out. Yeah. Yeah. But to say that we have been misleading anyone? Oh, no way. No, it is you politicians, you conservative politicians. No, let me take that back. You Republican politicians who have been misleading people, and misleading people over and over and over again. And then you wonder, and you sit around and you pout, and you're all mad, and you stomp your feet and hold your breath and make demands on Donald Trump when he comes along, and we say, look, we're so sick and tired of you, we're going to give this fella a chance. And that's basically what it boils down to. No, Trump's not a polished politician. Anybody can see that. But he presents a viable alternative to people who have been, well, basically good for nothing. So, you know, Mr. Pooch Poodle McConnell, you got your own self to blame, son. You know, don't go try putting it off on us. Yeah, we're holding your feet to the fire, and we're going to continue to do it. What are you going to do now? Put us out of business? You going to side with the liberals and do something about the First Amendment? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to buck up and do your job like you should? I mean, perhaps when Harry Reid retires this fall, you should hire him as a consultant, because he seems to do pretty doggone good for himself, whether and his party, whether he's in the majority or as he is right now
in the minority. He's got you wrapped around his little finger, and he's in the minority. Don't sit there and tell me that the Republicans are powerless when they control both houses of Congress. And by the way, if you think, let's just assume for a moment that you can have your wish and Donald Trump goes away and your guy Mitt Romney or some other savior of yours comes along and saves the party and gets himself elected. Well, guess what? The Democrats are still going to be there in the Senate. They may or may not control the Senate, but it won't matter to them because they know how to stop you. And a Republican president, which, by the way, they did very effectively in years 2007 and 2008 when Nancy Pelosi, well, matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi took over the Congress. Well, I guess she did it in, what was it, 2004? I'm getting confused. But nonetheless, when Bush was the president and you had Democrats in Congress, they did a pretty doggone good job of getting what they wanted and stopping him from getting what he wanted. Even when they were in the minority, they were able to put a hold on a lot of the stuff that he wanted to do. Like the housing crisis. Paul O'Neill was his first Treasury Secretary. Paul O'Neill had a bit of a speech impediment. I don't know if you remember him, but not a very tall guy. Well, one of the first things that Bush had O'Neill do was go up to Congress and begin to lay the groundwork for changing what had become some freewheeling and loose lending policies under the Clinton administration, with the help of a young lawyer by the name of Barry Obama, by the way. They basically, you know, made it so easy to get a loan that anybody could get a loan. And now we see what happened. You had the housing bubble and then the housing crisis, and we still haven't recovered from that. We are still suffering the effects from those bad decisions made under the Clinton administration. Bush wanted to do something about it. He sent Paul O'Neill to Congress in the first year he was in office. In the third year he was in office, then the next Treasury Secretary, he sent them to Congress. Each time Congress, when Congress was in the minority or the majority, it didn't matter. The message was the same. You go back and you tell that Mr. Bush to go to hell, that we're going to keep this policy in place, and that all he's trying to do is be a racist. You see? Because it's low-income minorities who are getting these freewheeling loans, and anybody who wants to take them away is obviously a racist. So you tell that racist Bush to go to hell. That was the message. Now, Mr. McConnell, perhaps you can go back and do a little research and figure out how they did it, and maybe you can then come back and then we'll talk again. But don't sit there and say talk radio is the problem or the ones who have been misleading the public when you've made a career out of doing that your own doggone self. Yap, yap, yap. We'll be right back.
You gotta keep them separated.
Now, where'd you get the idea for that tune, huh? Thank you, Nick. Sounds better when they do it. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Fixing to wrap it up here today, but don't worry because you still got a lot of great live talk radio out there. Once again, another guy who is doing everything he can not to mislead you, and that, of course, would be Larry Elder. He does a great show, and if you're hearing me now, you can, of course, hear him, and he'll be coming up as soon as we go off the air here at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow, as I said, the Rays are playing in the afternoon, so we should have the full 2 hours on the airwaves. Regardless, wherever you're listening to us now, you are in good shape, and that's where you can hear us anytime, anywhere. Really do appreciate that. Just a couple of things. Don't forget our contest coming up tomorrow night, and we're looking for what question would you ask President Obama? I just got another one on text one. That's a good one, too. But we've already got several. But, yeah, we want to come up with some questions that we think the president should have to confront, should have to be confronted by, should have to answer. So we would like to hear your questions tomorrow. And, once again, you'll be playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. And we'll probably throw in a My Liberty Threads T-shirt, too. My Liberty Threads made right here in America, America made, America proud slogans on them. And the gift certificate is compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's MB Service.
Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. They really do take good care of those cars over there. And, folks, you can literally eat off the floor in their workshop. I mean, it is just a beautiful area. Also, this weekend now is an event coming up here in Orlando, which has to do with the black community and what little the liberals have been doing for them. This is being co-sponsored by John Stemberger and the Florida Family Policy Council. It's Saturday. You're invited, and you can go to their website. That's flfamily.org, and then just put /event registration. That's flfamily.org/event registration. And it's based on how to restore the black family is what it's all about. So it's all, you know, and that's one of the things that liberalism does, unfortunately, when they get their tentacles into people's lives, is they facilitate the destruction of the, what we used to call the nuclear family, you know, the family unit. And certainly that has gone on in a dramatic fashion in the black community, much to the detriment of blacks in the community. And it has cost many lives and lots of suffering. The family unit is the basic human unit. And when you tear that apart, you tear apart the fabric of a person's spirit. And you also destroy the possibility of that spirit fully, finding itself and be able to make the most out of itself that it can. And it lapses into despair and resignation. And that results in drug use and gang activity and murder. And it's terrible. So that's flfamily.org/events. And so if you have the opportunity this Saturday, please do take advantage of that. And if you do get a chance to get over there, please call us and tell us about it. I'd like to go there myself, but I already have an obligation this Saturday and can't make it. So once again, that's flfamily.org/event registration. Okay. Once again, as I said earlier, and I'm not encouraging everybody to go flocking down to South Orange Avenue, but it was very sobering and sad to go down there, and it was just something that I felt compelled to do. And as I said earlier on the show, I grew up in this community, and I know the terrorist threat is out there, but to see it right there in downtown Orlando, it's a wake up. It's a wake up call, not just to us in this community, but it should be a wake up call to people around this country and around the world. And a lot of people are getting it. Unfortunately, this administration doesn't get it. This administration is too wrapped up in its own goals and its own agenda to show any kind of flexibility, any kind of new creative thought. And when someone like a guy like Donald Trump comes along, and that's really what he's doing, is he's saying, look, we need to rethink the problem. Let's try some creative solutions here. Obviously, what we're doing isn't really working. We need to try something else. And that willingness to try, I believe, is very appealing to a lot of people. Will it be enough to get him elected? We shall see. And we'll be here to, once again, separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and reality from mythology. And if the Republican establishment doesn't like it, well, you can either just get your minds right and act right, or get out of the way, because, hey, we'll be here to do just that on a regular basis. And I hope you're right here with us, folks. Once again, please join the American Adversaries Army by going to our website. You already might be there right now. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. We really do appreciate you being there. And, night, everybody.
FM UORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.